Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
If you would please stand for the reading of the scripture lesson. As it is a new year and we have new beginnings, our reading comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. This is from the NIV version. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making this appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Happy New Year to all of you. I pray that your year-end celebrations went well and that many of you who are recovering from whatever has gone through our city and world is passing over you. Emma sends her greeting. She is with cold and fever or something. I haven't been near her, so I don't know what she has, but she wishes you her very best as well. Would you pray with me? God, it's the bidding prayer of this your servant, O Lord, this simple thing, but important. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O God, in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer, and it is in your name we pray, God's people said. Amen. Numerology is one of the studies, the sub-studies, theologically for us preachers who try to understand and explicate the text in ways that helps people know Christ more. Numerology for us in the Christian faith helps us understand the images and shadowing, the type, the kind of formation of the text that God gives us through these kind of hints that God offers for hope in living. Numbers for us have meaning Christian-wise, and there are several places. One, number 5 means the number of grace. We'll talk about that in a series to come named 15, which will happen this summer. 7 is the number of completion, and we'll talk about that in the fall. Today is January 7th. Tomorrow is January 8th, and so it is appropriate that we start in 2018, before we arrive there, talking about what it means to engage in a fresh start. Paul considers that as he writes his second letter to the Church of Corinth. Actually, it is just a continuation. If you know anything about the Greek writing, he really never finished his letter. In fact, the last signaturation or the last comment in that Grecian text is actually a comma of the end of the 1 Corinthians text. And then he starts in the 2 Corinthians by continuing his text. In chapter 5, as he continues to talk to them about the grace of what it is to be the first church, he does so out of the context of helping this church known as Corinth realize just how difficult it is to be in community. Have you seen that?
in the last couple of years in the world, in the community that you live in, just how at times very challenging it can be to be in community. This is where Paul is. He writes this text to a church that is discovering what it is to have an opinion. My daughters had this robust dialogue during our Christmas season. This sermon was written some months ago, but I couldn't help but install this commentary because of the nature of their robust dialogue. They had a robust dialogue. In other words, they had a fight. The subject matter doesn't matter. The context is not for you to know, and the duration of their fight is not something I would ever put upon you. But as they continued it the next day, my 14-year-old, who always fascinates me with her frolic nature and her ability to chime her comment in just in rhythm, said this. "Oh, Taylor, you and I are never going to agree. Why don't you just pay for what I told you to pay for and let me be the winner?" My 19-year-old said, "I work for my income, you don't," until she realized the money she had was not hers but someone else's, and they went to lunch on the dime that Emma and I provided them. It was at that lunch that we paid for that they said these words. Listen carefully. "Oh, sis, I love you. I promise never to argue with you again." Do you know where I'm headed with this? They made a fresh start. They put all their conflict aside and they decided that they were going to love one another again. Until Saturday, when we had to make a choice on what kind of pizza we would have, and it started all over again. I wonder if the Apostle Paul felt that way as he wrote his second letter to the Church of Corinth. Chapter 5, he's talking to them in this second letter to the Church of Corinth about the grace and the power they have to be, listen, the children of God. About what it means to represent on the earth the salvific nature of one who conquered death and hell and is coming back with all power in his hands. It's in this context that the transcriber of the New International Version says these words in the pericope or passage known as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Here's what he says. Listen, he says, So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. The Message version is even more helpful here. The more articulate, more modernized context says this. Eugene Peterson writes, quote, "Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look." Paul writes this to a church that is wrestling with the witness that they have to a world that is struggling with the fact that they, many of them who are of a former Judaistic nature, have left their former religion and have followed this one who is a Palestinian Jew who has in front of them challenged the world's understanding of what life is. I'm going to say something here, and I hope you can agree with it. I think you will. It is my belief that there has never been a more challenging time to hold faith than it has been in 2018. Both internally and externally, the wrestling of people who follow Christ our Lord has never been more constrained than in this season. For reasons we both know and for reasons in your own personal lives I will never know, you're faced with some choices of decision you must make. I love what Eugene Peterson says in that verse in 2 Corinthians 5. Listen to what he says about this choice we must make. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. I want to offer you a gift as we start this new year. It didn't cost me anything, but it cost Christ everything. Here is the gift. Give yourself in 2018, this first Sunday in 2018, this first Sunday in 2018 at 9:28 a.m. at St. John's United Methodist Church, or wherever you hear this by recording or any other venue, please give yourself this moment right now the gift that will mean the world to you if you embrace it, and here it is. Give yourself the right and the grace and the opportunity for a fresh start. Offer yourself the opportunity to reject the opportunity to regenerate yourself to remissions of yesterday. That's not to say you don't reflect on things that have occurred, that you don't learn from the mistakes that you have made, that you don't take wisdom from those falls and follies that you have encountered. That is not to say that at all. Please hear this from one who is learning each day of former things to get better. But it is to say, as Ulysses Kay said in his writing Wit and Wisdom, to put things in its proper place. Or in the words of Solomon, there is a season, a time for everything under the sun. Where are you going, Troy? Here's where I'm going. Believe it or not, I don't have much more content before I get to the main things I want to say, and here it is. Paul teaches us in this passage where he offers the church of Corinth this opportunity in the midst of all that they have, as they all think differently than one another, to get on board with one in unison in Christ and think things over and have a fresh start and begin anew, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And the grace we get is to rejoice and be glad in it. He reminds them that it is not their color or their place of station or where they live. It is not their bank account. It is not how they look or how they talk. It is not their language of origin. It is not those things worldly. It is not those things spiritually. It is not what they do or don't do that puts them in difference or union together. The one thing that they can have and they must count on as a body of believers, as one body, as unified and grace-filled, the one thing that they must without end unconquerable joy hold on to is that Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ is risen again. Where are you getting that from, Troy? Well, here's what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 17 and 18, verse 17 and 18. Here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this comes from God, who reconciled himself unto us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. Now, for those of you who may be older than 25, I know we have some students here. Let me help you with that word. The old has come. The obtaining of gray hair makes me wonder sometimes what the text means by that. old does not mean in terms of age. Old means in terms of psychology. Walter Brueggemann says about this word old, which I found helpful here. He said it is not about a time period. It is about the level at which one has lethargy in their ability to live. I love that. Paul says, live, renew, fortify yourself in the aspect that as you are in Christ, whatever has gone before is not conquered you to the degree that you cannot overwhelm it with good and grace in God, and by his mercy live in the majesty of the Messiah. In other words, faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ, faith solely in Christ. Yes, I'm making a bold proclamation here. I know that this may not be comfortable for some who are seeking Christ. It is hopeful in my heart that you will glean onto this in this moment as we prepare for communion to take hold of this fully, that you will understand that faith in Christ, the one who has died and has come and is coming again, faith in Christ brings the gift of a fresh start at decisive times for every disciple and faith organization. St. John's 2018 has offered us a fresh start. If you hear nothing else, please hear that. It has offered us a fresh start, not an easy start, not a comfortable start, not something we can take lightly, but it has offered us in this moment, in this season, in this hour, in this day, with those who are here, a fresh start. And our task is to grab a hold of it with a vice grip that will not allow anything but victory to come forward. How do we do that, Troy? Well, I want to suggest to you four quick things. Just four. The text teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, that a fresh start, as Eugene Peterson transcribes that text in the New International Version, back to the Message, this word fresh start, which is found in verse 18, can happen, is achieved when first we focus on what is in front of us right now. Focus on what's in front of us right now. Remember? The lethargy of yesterday has passed. Behold, things become new. Focus. In your personal life, in your family life, in community life, what is working? What is possible? What can happen? What can you fix and change? And those things that you do not have power over, give them to God. And in the words of Charles Albert Tinley, take them to the Lord and leave them there. Number two, a fresh start is achieved when we shift our sight, S-I-G-H-T, as well as our sight, S-I-T-E, from earthly limit to their eternal value. The tough part of transformation is when you allow your hurt to be transformed into hope. Who is in your sphere that needs your hope of second start? What is in your way that asks you not your will, but thy will be done? Jesus had 12 crazy disciples. You would agree, would you not? Peter, who always wanted to fight. Matthew, who always wanted to count the money. Luke, who was just all about the business of being a healer. Oh, Thomas, he wasn't even a disciple, but you know about him. And the list goes on and on and on. We don't even want to get on Mark, who didn't even want to have a conversation. And each day he had to find ways to shift his sight of them and then shift his sight. Maybe sometimes we must move our feet to a new place, our service to a new ministry area, our energy to a new environment so that we can be renewed by God's grace. Number three, A fresh start can and is achieved when we find our witness in what is faithful. Here's the measuring stick for you and I this year. Is what we are doing, is what we're giving to, is who we are engaged in, is it faithful, hear this, faithful to the ministry of Christ, which is the ministry of reconciliation? Who are we loving more than leaving? Who are we lifting more than leaving? Verse 20 says this, just so you'll know. It says, we are therefore Christ ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. Remember, whatever you do, even in the midst of challenging moments, the appeal of God is being made through you. There is a final comment before we transition to our time of communion. It is this. That a fresh start is achieved when we fuel our following Jesus with worship, work, and full fellowship in the body of the faithful. You see, friends, the way you keep doing this past your New Year's resolutions is when you continue to fuel yourself with the worship that you gather here on Sundays and the work that you do for the sake of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the opportunities that are coming, and trust me, they are coming, that will allow you and I to fellowship together, to join together in love and attributes of grace that will allow us to know each other in the fullness thereof and give us a sense that we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit. If you choose by a la carte what you will take a hold of, you will miss some of the fuel you'll need to be faithful. In other words, you got to be all in. Christian faith is not for the weak at heart, it is for those who want to be strong in grace. You got to be all in. And sometimes being all in will cause you heartburn, but you've got to hold on hope and wait till joy come in the morning, for sometimes weeping does endure for a night. But I promise you this, sometimes there'll be great joy, and you'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in your mouth. There are good times coming and great times coming and good things coming, but you have to do this one thing like nothing else, and I'll say it once more, and then I'll be done, except for one quote. You have to take a hold of this whole opportunity with a fresh start. You see, no one can take advantage of the Beatitudes of Jesus without first embracing a new attitude and a fresh start in faith. That's what Christ is all about. He offers us reconciliation through his sacrifice, that you and I might have a fresh start. Pray with me. God of grace and power, we start this year hearing your word of renewal and newness clearly. Give us a sense of your Spirit as we walk through this time, where we do so by beginning at your table. May you transform us and make us to be what you call us to be. And may you receive all glory and honor for what we become, so that it might not be us, but it might be the Christ in us. This and more we pray. In Christ's name, God's people said, amen.